Thank you for taking a ride on the Freedom Train podcast series right here on the Freedom Train Network. I am your host, Joseph Warden. As always, ride with me is my homies, Mr. Patrick and Mr. J.A. Zonic, going down in the South. Remember, the Freedom Train podcast series is brought to you by PAX Inc. That's P-A-C-T-S-I-N-C. And PAX Inc. is a black development organization aimed at developing the black community to its maximum potential through a focus on education and economics with the traits of hard work, honesty, and integrity. For more information, make sure you visit www.pactsinc.org. That way you can click on the tab that says the code, learn more about the codes of conduct, go click the About tab, the Member and the Donor tab, get involved and get into the Education and Learning Center and learn as much as you can about PAX Inc. While you're online, make sure you visit our Freedom Train website at www.freedomtrainradio.com to learn more about myself, Patrick, Jay, and the whole Freedom Train Network family. Remember, our weekly lineup every Monday, you get the Fix Sports Podcast, but the Fix Sports Podcast is on a little vacation for about another week, so in about two more Mondays, you'll get your season two, episode one of the Fix Sports Podcast. Every Wednesday, you get the Freedom Train Podcast series, as well as the live showing of Office Hours with Professor Carl Tone Jones and Erica Toba. Every Thursday, you get an episode of Lessons from the Screen, which Patrick Irvin hosts, where he breaks down anything, any type of information in any format that you can get through a screen and how it affects the black community. Every Friday, you will get the podcast version of the Office Hours with Professor Carl Tom Jones and Erica Tobert via iTunes, via Google Play, or Stitcher. And every Saturday, you will get the podcast version of On the Shoulders of Giants, which is African history at your fingertips, mini biographies that's giving you the stories of the sung and unsung heroes every Saturday on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at Freedom Train Network. Follow us on Twitter at Freedom Train Net. Follow us on Instagram at Freedom Train Network. Like our Freedom Train Facebook page and subscribe to us on YouTube, the Freedom Train Network, because it go all the way down. Fellas.
Hey.
What it is.
What it is. Hey,
y'all ready for that Five Fingers of Death freestyle?
Get them, Sway. We got some hyenas in the building.
That's going to be funny. We got me hyenas in here.
I don't get funny. The hyenas thing. What does that mean?
I guess you're ill rap.
Clearly, you're not a citizen of Sway in the Morning, Pat.
He ain't no citizen.
You ain't a citizen. Ain't no citizen.
Oh, you old non-citizen.
Yeah, you old
you outsider.
Yeah. I listened to a couple clips on YouTube, but I don't. Is there one where he explains the hyena?
Man, he probably explained that like decades ago, man. Sway's been on radio for.
It's just cats who get loose on the mic. Male, female, whoever you is, people just get loose on the mic and really hold it down.
Why do you call them hyenas though?
Because they vicious, dog. Have you not seen hyenas?
He ain't watched The Lion
King. And The Lion King, they get their asses beat by the lion.
Because it was written like that, but in real life.
Hyenas wrong, man.
No, they got lazy backsides, but they cool.
they ain't twerking.
Maybe that's the problem. They trying to twerk while they walking and running.
Wait, how do we get into hyenas twerking, man? Where is this conversation going? I don't know if I want to take part in this.
Hey, man, we with Pat. You know he was in Miss Frizzle class, so that's how we take it.
Hey, the Magic School Bus was dope.
Yeah, it was.
You just showed your age, too, Joe.
Hey, man, I'm 34 and proud, my brother. 1984 representative. All right.
Stop lying. You at least 40, Joe.
Shut up, Sergeant.
Over here lying. You at least 40 something.
Shut up. Hey, so today we got a couple topics we're gonna cover. We want to talk about the CDC doctor who is missing now, Trump, his tariffs, and its effect on the stock market, white boys, guns, and schools. It's a common damn thing, white boys, guns, and schools. And then we ain't going to spend a lot of time, but we're going to briefly talk about the conversation within the black community covering Oprah becoming the next U.S. president. Which I'm going to go ahead and say I am not behind. But before we get to that, I'm going to say that to the end. Kind of go ahead and start off with this CDC doctor and him going basically, if you don't know what happened, a guy named Tim Cunningham, Dr. Tim Cunningham, who is a doctor with the CDC, has been with the CDC for over 10 years, and he's gone missing for like the last 2 or 3 weeks. From Atlanta. He went home one day a couple weeks ago, not feeling well, after he was not given a promotion. He was basically looked over for a promotion, so he went home. Nobody has seen him since. They found his car keys, his car, his wallet. He got this dog, like one of them, you know, one of the Labuji people dogs, got one of them dogs. And, you know, he one of the people who attached to his dog, so he never leaves his dog. But all of that is not with him. He's been gone. And theories say, conspiracy theories with my fingers up in the air, conspiracy theories say that he's been linked to saying that the flu vaccines is some of the things that is causing the serious flu outbreak in the United States. But there have been no evidence to be able to link that to him, because that was an anonymous doctor from the CDC that said that the flu outbreak is linked to the flu vaccines that have been given out. So Tim Cunningham is missing. Apparently they have started looking for him, started their searching for him in wooded areas in the CDC office in Atlanta. So, you know, what y'all guys' thoughts on this, and, you know, what kind of information have y'all heard about this? Because they got like a $10,000 reward for any information leading to his findings.
I'll let Pat tackle that one first.
I had planned on chilling out, because I ain't got nothing to say. I mean, look, he missing is weird, yes. But there ain't enough information, and most of the conspiracy theories out there, the theories, I won't even say they're conspiracy theories, because that, in my opinion, gives them a level of legitimacy that they shouldn't have. There's just nothing out there, really, to verify anything that anybody's saying. Most of the things that I've been able to track down have come from sources that either aren't cited, or the sources themselves are questionable and sketchy and known for putting out bad information. So, I mean, you know, I hope he's found. I don't want to sound cold and callous or anything like that, but a Harvard grad that makes six figures, get passed over for a promotion, and decides to go missing, I'll wait till I get more information to decide whether or not I should give a damn, especially in light of all of the innocent, harmless, and I'm not saying he's guilty of anything, but in light of all of the black children that go missing on a daily basis, I don't really have a lot of time and energy for a 35-year-old man who got upset because he got passed over for a promotion. So,
well, I guess like the biggest thing right here is his parents, because, you know, their son is missing. There's no real evidence to lead to why he would be missing. And then they were the officials came to them on at least four different occasions, thinking that, well, after they found the body, they found four bodies, and that's another thing that's going on with this. Like they looking for him and found four other dead bodies. Like, goddamn, what the hell is going on in Atlanta? So
now that's an interesting conversation. And again, I haven't looked too far into it, and I'm not trying to sound cold. I'm not trying to like. I hope they find the brother. I hope his parents get closure, this, that. And I really do hope things work out. Just for me, just being completely honest, like, that's really all I can do. Like, I don't really have comments or anything like that. I mean, fuck. You know, like, what? There ain't really enough information to say nothing.
And, yeah, I kind of felt the same way, too. When it first came out, everybody, you know, kind of latched on to the theories that people were putting out there. Few people made videos about it, and I think it was a hot topic, and it kind of brought up the question of vaccines with a lot of people and things of that nature, and it just brought up all the conspiracy theories. But kind of what Pat said earlier is nothing that I feel is, you know, credible. Per se, the situation kind of surrounding his disappearance is kind of weird. You know, like you say, he didn't get the promotion. He made some weird phone calls the day before. You know, it's just weird. But on this one, I really think people should just sit back and see what happens. I mean, even I think his mom or dad came out and said it's not about no shot or anything like that. That's not was true or something like that. So when I read that, I was just like, okay, maybe, you know, we jump in the gun. You know, it's a great story, you know that movie. It's some movie-worthy kind of, you know, how people spin in this conspiracy theory. But can we really sit here and say, you know, all right, this is the exact reason why? I know we can guess and things like that, but we should be, you know, kind of be a little careful because it might be something completely elementary.
Well, I guess that's one of the reasons we would be talking about it today is to kind of put that light of sensibility on it. Is like, slow down, Black America, before you just run off with this one, try to score a touchdown with this one. Like, let's look at all the things, because, like, I first learned about this, watching Willie D video on YouTube. You know, Willie D played the news clip, and after that, when he come back on, he's like, y'all know he dead, right? You know, and I'm like, God damn, Willie. Like, let's get a little more. I mean, I understand where you're coming from. I truly do understand where you're coming from. But let's get a little more evidence, and let's kind of flesh this situation out, because as more evidence come out since that day I saw that video, then we learn more that, okay, now he's missing after he didn't get a promotion. So could that have anything to do with him missing or whatever, you know, is he really missing and all these things here? But it's just, you know, it's something that did catch my attention when I was going through different things to, going through preparing for the show, and it's something that caught my attention. Well, the CDC doctor, because initially before the rest of the information came out, I was thinking, well, damn, another doctor speaking out against the medical establishment who've been killed off, because we know that there have been a number of naturopathic doctors, including Dr. Sabi, who were, well, I'm not going to say Dr. Sabi was killed because I don't have information, even though I do think he was, but I don't have the information. But, that over the last, 10 years or so, it's been a good number of naturopathic doctors who have been murked off. And those doctors have been murked off after being involved in specific projects or certain projects or saying certain things and all this. So it's just like, that's what I was thinking about initially, but then going through more information, find out that them shits ain't got nothing to do with each other. It's like, okay, but that's where people are taking this, though, and people are taking it and running with it as if all these things, you know, are in concert together. And right now with the information, it seems like they're not. So.
And the one thing before we close this is just it brought up the conversation of vaccines and stuff like that. And I put in the group chat earlier that we honestly got to sit down and have like some type of panel for Black people regarding vaccines, because we seem very misinformed when it comes to it. We believe a lot of things because it's posted by this place and da-da-da this and this is right. And people not, you know, getting their children proper, you know, health care shots because they think it's this, they think it's that. Even though a lot of stuff has been debunked and it's not true, but, you know, because we got a YouTube video that says it and some mysterious doctor and we can't verify any of that. When I heard this conversation, you know, people brought up that, you know, flu vaccine and all this stuff and X, Y, and Z. We got to do a better job of kind of educating ourselves as a community in regards to vaccines and not just taking this a hardline stance like, no, it's all bad, this, this, that, and the other. Well, clearly it's not all bad. You know, you ain't out here worrying about polio anymore. There's a few things vaccines have actually, you know, helped to eradicate in the United States. In other countries, not as much because their health care isn't up to par with ours. But I think we got to honestly have a conversation about vaccines. I think that narrative has gotten a little bit out of hand. Fair enough?
Well, I mean, a conversation does need to be had, but you got to understand the interpretation that the black community does.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Talk about
absolutely.
Vaccines and you know, and not saying that, you know, I want to get into this, but, you know, somebody be like, you know, somebody going to be like, wait, if the white man wouldn't have brought polio, we wouldn't have had to worry about it, my brother. So, yeah. You know, be prepared for that dude to come at you.
And that's fair. And that's fair. But, like, there are... We have to understand that it wasn't like people was living in various parts of Africa illness free. Like, yes, we had to deal with various health issues because we weren't accustomed to the bacteria that they brought with them. And if you do your research, you'll find that the white people that went into Africa had to deal with various illnesses that they weren't immune to.
That should
that
be common sense,
though. That
people
were carrying with them that they had built... So even in that, I agree with Jamie. We do need to have, but that conversation has to start with proper research, a conversation on how to do proper research to begin with. Because so many people, they do research to validate their point of view instead of trying to gain understanding about what the fuck they're supposed to be researching. So instead of researching vaccines, how they work, how they're made, what's in them, what happens when they go in your body, blah, blah, blah. People will say vaccines is bullshit. You shouldn't get vaccinated. And then they'll go to Google and type in why you shouldn't get vaccinated. And then they'll skim through the first article. They'll read the title of the next one. And then they'll run around and start telling all their friends that they educated. And they don't check sources. They don't, and if you do these things, if you don't do these things and you do more in-depth research, that's cool. I'm not talking to you. But I'm talking to the vast majority of the people that I've listened to on Blog Talk and all these other podcasts and these interviews and everywhere else, even some of them on national television, talking about healthcare issues and history and everything else. And I can tell, especially if it's a topic that I'm familiar with, that I've done research on, you can hear it. This person has not done enough research to be having this conversation. They've done enough research to persuade ignorant people. And we have entirely too much of that going on. So we can't even have a conversation about vaccines because motherfuckers don't even know how to research.
That's you hit it on the head on that one there. Can't disagree with you much on that, but we honestly gotta like get a panel something together. And before you sit, like I had just for an example, shits and grins, right? Somebody was like, "Hey, should I vaccinate my child? Get my child a flu shot or something like that." And you had people coming on there. Well, I never caught the flu, so I don't see why I should get the flu shot. You know, just coming up with stuff. And I'm like, if you gonna open your mouth to tell somebody not to do something or to do something, you need to take a little bit of time to educate yourself on something. Because everybody, again, like, and you, it's your right as a parent to do whatever you want to do with your children. But I had one girl, she just said, "My kid got the flu, but I didn't give him a flu shot." Well, the kid got sick, and she thought it was the flu. She didn't know the difference between the flu and the common cold. Just shit like that. So we just got to do a better job of educating ourselves before we jump in these conversations and tell people this or tell people that, like Pat said.
Yeah, I mean, you got people running around here talking about cancer is caused by a fungus. What? What?
Hey, man. I don't know. I'm always down for a good conspiracy theory, but some of this shit is just like, y'all wild,
like,
man.
Like
chill
that,
out.
Like, you're a terrorist, in my opinion, if you're telling people cancer is caused by a fungus, and if you want to cure it, all you need to do is eat this one specific thing, and it'll cure your cancer. Stop it. Stop. You might as well strap a bomb to somebody's chest and send them into a church. You're still fucking people up. You're just doing it slower.
Hey, man. Hey.
That was a pretty great analogy there.
Moral of all this, what we telling y'all, do your goddamn research and do it extensively.
Hey, Joe, right? I didn't even know people were coming up with the theories before the information about his dog and his car keys and all that had come out. Like, so people was really like, a CDC doctor is missing. And then from there, they just started connecting dots.
Well,
that was all the information they had.
Because they were saying he was a whistle. Because the first thing to come out was saying that he was a whistleblower, saying that he said the vaccines caused a flu outbreak. But then if you read further, if you do your research and read further, you'll see that they said an anonymous CDC doctor said that. But they was like, he don't even work in the goddamn department to even get access to that damn information.
Yeah. He worked in, virus something?
He worked
but
in
not cancer. Infectious. Yeah.
Yeah, not in vaccinations or whatever. He didn't work in that, so. So, like we say, for black folk, the moral of this story is before you get some shit and run with it, do your goddamn research.
Dang,
I just saw somebody post today, I'm not getting flu shot. Look, this guy, they killed. I'm just like, okay, man. You can have it.
I mean, if you don't want to get it, you don't want to get it. But don't be that's your business. You ain't got to try to persuade nobody else.
Right.
Don't let nobody persuade you.
I want to make one more point on this, and I stress this a lot. Look, and people really need to understand this. The brain is a pattern-finding machine. That's how you make it through your day. Your brain has identified patterns in everything around you, and you live and survive based off those patterns. You recognize your friends' faces based off the patterns. You recognize the distance from the step from your porch to the sidewalk based off the patterns. Like, your brain finds patterns. And the dangerous part of that is if you don't know when to stop connecting dots, you will connect dots that shouldn't fucking be connected. And we got entirely too much of that going on because people are like, oh, well, that makes sense. Yeah, that should. No, it doesn't. It doesn't. It makes sense because you're ignoring this big ass space that we call that space ignorance, emptiness, a lack of knowledge. You're just ignoring that and connecting two things together that shouldn't be connected. It's like motherfuckers that run around talking about, the same thing that makes your skin black is the same thing that makes space black. There is a big gap in knowledge when you make a statement like that. Just because one is black and the other one is black don't mean they're related.
Well, people don't understand what melanin truly is. People don't even understand what surface melanin on your skin, and there's a difference between that and even the neural melanin within the interconnectedness of your brain. And you could be the lightest of the light on the outside and have an abundance of neuromelanin on the inside and be the exact opposite. Nobody's made the same. And I understand that it may be similar, but to say it's the same exact thing that makes space black, I mean, no.
No.
But space, you know.
Space is black because it's fucking empty. There's nothing in there. Dark matter. But your skin is not black because of dark matter. Your skin is black because of fucking a goddamn polypeptide.
Remember, some of these people are the same people who really believe that Heru was a falcon-headed god walking around. Like, really, 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 really believe that. So that's what we're going
to do. I just wanted to make my statement about patterns. Because people be like, it makes sense. I see the pattern. Of course you fucking do. Your brain is designed to see the pattern. That don't mean it's a legit fucking pattern. Excuse my language.
I can make a lot of stuff make sense. That's almost your client. Like, you can make anything make sense. You just got to have some type of imagination.
All right. So let's move on. Let's talk about Donald Trump, these tariffs, and the Dow Jones dropping 420 points on Thursday. Because all I know is, I'm in Quincy, Florida, doing HIV testing with the crackheads at Bud's Liquor, right? And OG Bobby Johnson keep walking back and forth telling everybody, I'm OG Bobby Johnson. You better watch out. So I go into the restaurant, Odell's restaurant. If you're ever in Quincy, Florida, it's a black-owned restaurant right next side to Bud's Liquor called Odell's. They got some bomb-ass fish, get you something, right? So I was getting me some bomb-ass fish from Odell's. and I look at the TV screen, and it's talking about the Dow. At that point, the Dow Jones had dropped like 300 points, and I'm like, man, what the fuck? And I was like, I was about to call Pat, but then I realized, damn, I can't call him right now because I'm out in the spot and I'm doing all this stuff, and I ain't even got my phone in my pocket, but I'm watching it. Then I went back and kind of did a little bit of research, not as much as I wanted to, but you know, Trump has imposed these tariffs on steel and aluminum imports that has caused the Dow Jones to drop, the S&P 500, and the NASDAQ dropped 1.3%. So, you know, y'all two go ahead and bring us up to speed on this.
Pat probably got this one better than me.
I mean, without getting too heavy in the jargon, basically, Donald Trump is proposing, or he is trying to, forgive me for not being entirely up to date, but as far as the last thing I read, it hadn't happened. He was trying to impose basically a tax on aluminum and steel imports. Right. And what that's going to do is the companies are going to have to pay more money to bring their steel and aluminum, are there still aluminum products, depending on how expensive the tax is, into the American marketplace. That price is going to be passed on to consumers, which is going to raise the price of all goods, both primary and secondary. That means goods that are directly sold to consumers as well as goods that are sold to consumers through a manufacturer that has to buy aluminum or steel at increased rates. So when those prices go up like that, and not only that, but we're living in an interconnected world. So when you start talking about the economy, if they got to pay more, their governments might get upset. They might impose taxes on American companies. That's a whole separate conversation. But basically, when the prices go up like that, companies tend to expect a level of loss in terms of their sales and their ability to produce profits. If a company experiences a drop in its ability to produce profits, companies' stocks start to lose their value. When the stocks start to lose their value, and granted, this doesn't have to be a real drop in value. A perceived drop in value is enough to cause people to sell their stocks, either in anticipation of a real drop or in anticipation of a perceived drop. Am I making sense? I feel like I got heavy in the jargon
Well, in saying that, I pulled up a report from the New York Post that's saying, I think I'm saying this name, Ichan, I-C-H-A-N, some rich white dude dumped $31 million in Steel-Link stock ahead of tariff announcement. So
basically, when people sell off their stocks, the stocks that are still being held lose value because there are more of them on the market. That's supply and demand. The more stocks a company has on the market, the less valuable those stocks are, the lower the cost, and vice versa is also true. So when you have all these people selling off stocks, it's going to cause a dip in the market where the market is going to lose a lot of the valuation that it's had. So that's basically what happened. People are anticipating a trade war. They're anticipating increased prices. They're anticipating basically companies losing money. And so they're trying to sell off their stocks to protect their money, and it's causing the entire market to dip.
Right.
And from what I read about it in my research, it just seems like a lot of this we're going to have to wait and see. Wait and see how it really impacts us all the way down to the consumer level. And the pros and cons of it, there's definitely the American steel industry and whatnot. These are types of things they've been lobbying for a while because it produces their production. It's when the foreigners, and correct me if I'm wrong, when they try to bring steel into the United States, they're trying to ask, an extra 35% on top of what it's already going to charge them?
I believe that the tariff was somewhere around there.
Yeah, 30-some percent. So my thing is the steel industry has been lobbying for this for quite some time. That way they feel they could be more competitive on the global market, X, Y, and Z. But the cons to it, like Pat said, okay, country saying, all right, so you're going to tax us for trying to bring steel into your country. Well, when we import this, you're going to have to pay this on the dollar, X, Y, and Z. Mm-hmm. So a lot of this is still a lot of wait and see. That's even if it gets passed. And what's going on is just you kind of just got to wait. It could be just hot air, or it could be actually see-through, but we probably won't see the effects of it as a consumer to maybe 2-3 years down the road when you go try to buy an aluminum bat and it's like $800,000.
Well, trying to get that aluminum furrow.
It's because the stock market thus far this year has been very volatile, and a lot of that has to do with stocks. I believe the stock, the economy itself is overheated, and I don't think Donald Trump, and when I say overheated, basically I mean the economy is growing at a pace that it can't sustain. So we experienced a huge drop in the market, or a correction as they call it, in the middle of February that was caused by, in my opinion, all of this speculative trading on these fucking digital cryptocurrencies and all that shit when everybody wanted to jump in that action. And here's the thing with that. There were over 40 cryptocurrencies sent into the market from the span of November, or was it October, to February. And there were over 40 of them put onto the stock market, and none of those 40 were actually trading any cryptocurrency. They were purely stock market investment entities, purely speculative investment entities where people were dumping their money into a company that was under the label of a cryptocurrency, not actually functioning as a cryptocurrency as a business model, and these people were getting wealthy off of it. Of course, eventually, that shit is going to crash. Of course, there's nothing there to sustain it. So that's another problem we have when we get in the stock market. It's so easy to fucking manipulate the stock market to acquire wealth from, we go back again to, people that aren't doing their fucking research.
So let me ask this. Investing in Bitcoin as a stock and mining Bitcoin, could you break that down for some folk? And because I think the reason why I'm asking you to do that is because I think a lot of, well, for one, you can explain it better than I can, and two, I don't think people are getting the difference in the two. It's like mining, I don't think they understand what mining Bitcoin is in relation to the investing in Bitcoin as a company on the traded stock market as itself.
Well, investing in Bitcoin, you find, I believe there are two companies now that represent some sort of Bitcoin derivative. But investing in a cryptocurrency is the same as investing in anything else. You go to your preferred stock website or your broker if you're wealthy enough to have one, or whatever, and you look up the company that trades or represents these sorts of cryptocurrencies that you want to invest in, and you buy shares in the stock. It's just that simple. It's just regular. Now, when it comes to mining Bitcoins, that at this point in time, if you want to do it for profit and not just burn the fucking energy and raise your fucking electric bill sky high, it requires you to get a special computer, a super powerful computer, that's going to run 24/7, running equations all day. And when you process these equations, you get a percentage of or a piece of a Bitcoin as a reward for running these equations. Now, the equations get increasingly complex as the system runs, which is why 20 years ago, or 10, 15 years ago, a regular old computer could run and collect you a couple bitcoins a day. Nowadays, you need a system of super powerful computers wired together running 24/7 to get a half a bitcoin in 2 or 3 months. So that's the difference. Mining is actually you contributing to the Bitcoin network through via your computer, solving equations and getting paid for your work. Investing is just investing.
Right, okay.
So it involves no digging of any sort?
No digging of any kind whatsoever. Well, you're going to be digging into your pockets. Cause
so there's no mountain full of Bitcoin I can go mine that shit? Like,
what? Actually, at this point, most of the Bitcoins have been, because there can only be 21 million at one, in existence at one point, period. So, and half of those have already been claimed. So, you know, you it's a little late to get into the mining game. If you broke, sorry. Because even one of the cheap, powerful computers for mining Bitcoins is going to run you more than a grand. So if you're broke, sorry, you're about 10 years too late to get in on the Bitcoin game. I'm sorry. Like, you can't even buy the stocks now if you broke.
Yeah, them stocks.
It's just late.
Yeah. And I just, it was one of those things like, this is way too good to be true. Like, you ever notice that? And my thing with the Bitcoin, because a lot of people don't have that type of literacy when it comes to all that stuff you're describing, Pat, all that nerd logic, they didn't have it. So a lot of them were just going in there like, I'm going to buy some Bitcoin, and end up getting swindled. They get some Chuck E. Cheese tokens, and they get shit. So I saw a lot of people getting swindled out of money thinking they were investing in Bitcoin and trying to jump on the wave. Go ahead.
Well, not my bad. Finish what you're saying.
It was just mainly because they weren't educated on the process of, you know, having this Bitcoin and how the effects of it. Or you had a lot of people mortgaging their house, buying it all. So when the market went down, they lose the money. They didn't diversify their investments. All types of silly shit. So educate yourself. We back to that again.
Yeah, I mean, because my thing is, okay, if you are investing in Bitcoin and you, like, how are you investing in Bitcoin? Or how are you putting your money in Bitcoin? Are you just putting in, somebody saying this? Because there are legitimate ways to invest, and Bitcoin is legitimately on the stock market. But I don't know. I just, people don't like to really do research, so they like to get their money took. So I don't know.
When you're dealing with cryptocurrencies, when you're dealing with anything digital, and that's another thing, Bitcoins don't have a physical representation as far as I know. So I did.
They don't have nothing to back. It's nothing backing it.
I did see people on my Facebook feed talking about, you know, I just spent $500 on some Bitcoin. They coming in the mail. And these were people that I know were not being funny. They going to get a bunch of gold-plated candy wrappers in the mail thinking they got something. So, you know, when Jamie talks about people not being, when both you guys talk about people not being aware, it's true. But look, it's a market that's not based on anything. It's being cracked down all over the country. Both Korean countries are talking about banning them. China has been entertaining, and I think they have passed several things that amount to a ban. They're being banned all over the world. And for those of you people talking about they can replace the U.S. dollar, a lot of you guys, look, I'm not saying they can't, but a lot of you guys, your beef with the U.S. dollar is that it's not backed by anything. What the fuck is a Bitcoin backed by?
Nothing.
Bits.
You know, it's a mathematical equation. So, come on. Like, this is where I'd be like, people don't even think before they say shit. I'm not saying it can't work, but I'm saying if your reason for saying we need to switch the Bitcoins from the dollar is because the dollar is fiat, Bitcoin's a fiat as well. Stop it. All right, I'm done.
Hey. All right, so because of time, let's move on and talk about these crazy white people and their guns.
Jamie's been waiting on this one. I think we should let him go in. All
right.
Jamie.
So
Hold on. Let me set you up. I'm going to be Dominique Wilkins and you Spud Webb. All right. I'm going to set us up. Right.
Eat a huge food. But go ahead. I thought you were going to sneak that one in there.
So, of course, everybody knows about the school that was shot up by Nick Cruz, crazy cracker. He shot up the school in South Florida. Then a week later, you had a student in South Florida who he says he just brought an AR-15. He had it in his car, and it was discovered that he brought the gun to school like a week after the shootings in South Florida. And then a couple of days after that, I found out that a teacher in Georgia locked himself in a classroom and was licking off shots and stuff. So, you know, go ahead, Jamie. Go in on the crazy white boy.
All right, so... Well, right. Freaking Joe, man. All right, here's my thing. And I'm going to do something that that I know most people are not going to do. I'm going to take race out of the equation for 1 second when we talk about this with shootings. As adults, we got to understand that gun control does not mean taking all your guns. It doesn't. And believing in the Second Amendment doesn't mean that anybody should be able to just have a weapon. That should be a privilege. That shouldn't just, oh, you American, here's a gun. But between those two extremes, there's a lot of common sense things we can work on. I'm for one. I'm a gun owner, probably a gun owner. I think every person, black, especially black community, we should be gun owners. We should actively shoot and be proficient on weaponry and whatever the case may be. I think there's a thing in black society where we're afraid to own weapons of any sort because of the, oh, you're black, you can't own. No, we can own weapons. The Second Amendment protects us as well. My whole thing with all these school shootings and stuff like that, there's common sense things we can do, and it takes the adults in the room to speak up and actually move these things forward. I'm kind of disheartened by it all because just I got children, and I couldn't imagine dropping my kids off at school and having to pick up or go identify a body by the end of the day. That's fucking ridiculous. And the bigger problem, this kid, Nick Cruz, just this one particular one, we got to look at how these white nationalist groups are radicalizing white males in America. And that's been going on, but now you see it at a level where this young male, he was radicalized right here in America by a white nationalist group. We can't stray away from that. And that needs to be talked about in this particular discussion. Why is this young man, you know, practicing with white nationalist groups? Why is he even able to own an AR-15? The kid, he ain't even got a mustache yet. So it's, to me, it's a lot because, I don't know, I take that personally because, I don't know, I feel for those parents. That hurts. And also, now all of a sudden, everybody wants to kind of take on this marching with these young people, marching, oh, these young people are the future, let's get behind them, this, that, and the other. And to those same people, when Black Lives Matter was out here, y'all wanted to call them thugs, they were a hate group, X, Y, and Z, when at the same time, they were just marching to get some type of change put into play, something done. So we're going to give this energy to these young people as we should. We got to look at it from a bigger perspective, look at it from gun control, and just look at it and how we're doing it as a society. This is just fucked up, man. These, like, 17 kids, this young man doesn't even know what he's hating people for yet. He was radicalized.
He a bitch. That's why, because he a bitch. How you graduate the school the year before and come back and try to shoot it up? You still mad with somebody? You a bitch.
But there's so many different things, and I'm not pointing the finger at one particular person. I'm looking at it from a society aspect. We got it's something that's something that we can actually do in our lifetime to have. Now, are you gonna stop all gun violence? No, that's stupid. You always gonna have somebody like this kid who's just going out there and gonna do some stupid shit. But in a lot of those cases, I honestly feel we come up with some common sense approach to gun violence in America, and not just for, you know, let's be honest, if it wasn't for, you know, you see the kids on the news from this high school, they're white students. But when we say, hey, we taught a, you know, police killing out black children, y'all kind of ignore us and brush us to the side. That same energy needs to be applied to both of those arguments so we can come up with some type of tangible solutions to move forward. Because this shit's just sad, man. Like, come on, come on, man. How many school shootings has happened since the turn of the year? It's been at least 12 by my count. I know it's more than that. That's ridiculous, man. I don't know. Maybe you caught me on the wrong day, but we fucking up. Now, more importantly, man, the school systems are fucking up, too.
Well, see, my problem is not to entertain the thought of teachers having guns. Hell.
No, that's what I'm saying. That the school system, now we're just like, okay, fuck it. We're just going to go completely to the right. Everybody got a gun. And I made this comment to somebody. I said it jokingly, but when the teacher went in the classroom in Georgia and was licking off shots and locked themselves up, why didn't anybody say, well, if the students had guns, they could have prevented that? We're not going to make that argument, are we?
Right, But also, I heard about a story early in the week where a teacher shot her. It was a female teacher who shot herself trying to discharge her gun in the school. I forgot what state it was. But it's like, that's not a solution. Like, it's going to be young. It's going to be, I'm going to put the race in this part, but it's going to be white female teachers shooting young black male students because now they have a license to shoot the black male students because they've been wanting to shoot these motherfuckers, but now they can because they got these guns. And hey, you can claim any type of stand your ground self defense. All these, to me, all these things are being set up to be real bad for the black community.
And that's an honest concern. You put it very vividly. That's an honest concern. Once your boy Bill Proctor out in Tallahassee, he put a letter out saying that he highlighted the disparity between suspensions of black students versus white students, meaning they were always, almost 22 more times to be suspended than a white student over the same types of things and things of that nature. And a lot of people, they don't understand that could be a slippery slope, that one little boy who's just having a bad day, and they're high school students, man. Let's not, or whatever, 10th grade, 9th grade, they're kids at the end of the day. Kid having a bad day, he going off this, that, and the other, and all the teacher somebody has to say is, I fear for my life. And we already seen in with police shootings, that will get you off and you can go on with your life by saying, I fear for my life. So to me, that's just going down a slippery slope. And for black parents, that's an honest concern. That can't be dismissed.
Man, it's also a concern for me is kids being in schools with these crazy ass white boys who ain't getting no, who are being overlooked when they're being reported about. It's being overlooked because nobody takes the threats of the white community serious until it actually happens. And to me, that's a big problem because, like, what those white males seem to be the biggest threat to American society between these certain age ranges. It seems like between 15 and 40, seem like you got to worry about them because they crazy.
It's just the attitude we have about guns in America, too. Not to get off topic. It's just everybody thinks that if they got a gun in their hand, they automatically transform into Billy Badass. Oh, I want to shoot that guy. Like, you don't understand. If you watch some of these police shootings, they fire off almost 60 to 100 rounds at one single person. You know why? Because they got fear, they're nervous, and all those emotions are run to it, and they're just letting off rounds. They lose that self-control. So how do we take people that have been trained to do a job that requires that to people who haven't been trained to do the job and making them required to make that distinction, whether to escalate or de-escalate a situation? That's just stupid. Don't arm teachers. That's just a knee-jerk reaction versus being responsible. You shouldn't be able to buy AR-15 and you can't buy a damn beer. Come on. You know beer can fuck you up. You think a gun ain't gonna fuck people up?
Well, let me ask both of you all this, since both of you have background in military and real gun training. Do you all think that regular people on the streets should have access to buying AR-15s and other light assault rifles?
My answer is yes. I think there should be an age. It should be 21 and up. I believe there should be a certain amount of training you have to get on that piece of equipment. But yeah, hell yeah. I ain't gonna say that. That's kind of ridiculous. I was about to say people should have machine guns. No, that's stupid. But yeah, I don't think AR-15 per se is the problem. People can make their references of when they had the assault rifle gun ban, certain crimes went down. I get it. My thing is, I wouldn't want to limit anybody, but I would want to make sure that only responsible people had access to those type of weapons. Does that make sense?
Joe, does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense.
Oh, right. I would say for me, an AR-15 is a rifle. And let's be honest, right? First off, assault rifle, assault weapon, those are political terms.
Yes, it is.
Like, so, like that, like when we got trained, we got trained on M16s and stuff. These are like fully automated weapons that have semi-auto capabilities. So what we're talking about when we talk about assault rifles and all of that, like first thing we got to do is clear the jargon out, because a lot of people are using these terms and they don't really understand what they're referring to. The AR-15 is a rifle, the same as the old fucking 1902 whatever that your dad used to shoot on, that you look at and, yeah, you're like, what the fuck is that? It's the same type of weapon. It's just got an updated frame. But it's a rifle. It's a single shot, pull the trigger once, one bullet come out, rifle. So that I don't have a problem with people owning AR-15. Hell, you can't stop a person from owning. You can build the AR-15.
15, yeah, you can.
So I don't have a problem with that. Now, if you're asking, do I have a problem with people owning machine guns? All right, yeah, I got a little issue. I got a pretty decent sized issue with people owning machine guns. I'm not totally against it, but I definitely think anybody that owns a machine gun, that if we, and it's illegal anyway, so it's a moot point, and there really is no reason for you to own a machine gun. But if we were going to go down that road, I would be like, look, first off, you need regular psychological evals every quarter. That means fucking every 3 months you need to go.
Hello, you said every quarter.
Every fucking 3 months, your ass need to go see a shrink. You know, every 3 months, you need to have your weapon inspected by a state official to make sure that, you know, proper maintenance is not being modified. You ain't got no goddamn bazooka. Look, you can do a lot of fucking damage with a machine gun. And even though you might be sane, we've seen from all these shootings, a lot of these people are doing shootings with weapons that they don't own. They got them from somebody else. So in saying that, not only should you have a psychological eval every 3 months, but everybody you live with should also have an eval every 3 months, and all of their friends should have evals every 3 months. And, you know, like we can just keep layering it and layering it beyond that, but that completely negates me saying it. So anyways, I don't have a problem with people owning AR-15s. We need to understand that assault weapon is a political term made specifically to demonize guns and gun ownership. So I can recognize that, and we really have to get away from using these terms because they're just not accurate. An M16 is completely different from an AR-15. Completely different.
Nah. But I was thinking about that the other day. Like, don't all guns, if you use them right, all the motherfuckers will assault you, won't they?
Yes.
Nah, assault pistol doesn't sound as terrifying.
Right. So we have to get into that. One of the things I do think that makes sense, that what they're doing now, what they're talking about, high capacity magazines. I agree with that. I do think but even in that, there have been states, I think California was one that tried to pass a high-capacity magazine ban.
They did.
The officials reported that nobody had turned in their high-capacity magazine.
They did. Because when I was in California, technically my weapon was illegal because it could hold more than 10 rounds at one particular time. So anything, I think it was over 10 rounds, was considered illegal. But it's not like people are like, oh, let me go buy some new clips. No. If I get caught, I'm going to just make sure I got 10 rounds in it.
Right. And people, see, and that's the point. We're trying to have discussions with people who don't even understand how magazines work. So you're trying to have a conversation about gun control with somebody that thinks you can go in the store and just buy fully loaded magazines filled with rounds that you can just plug into your gun. If you can do that, I've never seen it. Every time I've had to deal with a magazine, I had to take my time and manually load the bullets into that motherfucker. So the idea people have of how easy it is to get and equip and this, that, and the third, I'm not saying it's difficult to do these things, because if you got time, you can put together some dangerous shit. But I am saying people have a very broken perspective of guns in general, and how they operate and how to maintain them. So the whole conversation is skewed. I don't have a problem with people owning AR-15s. Most of the people I know own an AR-15, and that's me being honest. That's because most of the people I know currently are from my days in the military, and most of them got their permits and their license, and they bought one. A good chunk of the people I know own handguns, and they go shooting on a regular basis. So I don't have a problem with people owning assault weapons, if you will. I don't.
It's just, I like just to kind of piggyback, I have no problem whatsoever. My thing is just access. I think, you know, if you go to a gun show, you can literally walk out with whatever you want at that time. There's very little, you know, no layers put in place to ensure you're this or that. And that's my thing. And one last thing, and I'll let Joe take it over, we go wherever. Stop coming up with these dumbass arguments, pro or against. Like, everybody's like, oh, when did criminals start obeying the law? Why? You know, stupid stuff like that just really pisses me off, and it doesn't help us move forward in the conversation of gun violence in America, because it's not video games. I'm telling you right now, that little kid that's whooping your ass in Call of Duty is more than likely want to just play Call of Duty all day, order pizza, and probably play a little World of Warcraft in the meantime. That ain't who you worry about. It's the people out here with these white nationalist groups are getting radicalized and paying attention to different things. Those are the things we need to focus on. So you had the FBI putting out a report about what black identity extremists. Are we not going to focus on white identity extremists? The kid had swastikas put on his magazines. That stuff we got to focus more on and stop being scared of that conversation and to say those things. But
we can't. Like, because the Second Amendment does get thrown out a lot, but there is an argument in that whole militia discussion that people like to talk about. People oftentimes like to forget, I believe it was Patrick Henry, who one of his arguments for the need to have a well-armed militia was to maintain the system of slave patrols.
Yeah.
In his mind, a well-armed militia was used, and people forget in states like Georgia, where it was legally required that they have a slave patrol, a.k.a. a state militia, that traveled from plantation to plantation, inspecting slave quarters and punishing slaves and punishing runaway slaves and shit.
12.
Like, that is a part of this whole militia discussion as well that nobody's bringing up. You know, it wasn't just to protect the nation from tyranny or from itself. We got a fucking National Guard for that. You can call them a well-regulated militia. Their sole purpose is to protect the United States.
Or their state, or their report to the governor of their state.
Their entire purpose. Thank you, Jamie, for correcting me, because I didn't mean to say the United States. I meant to say their state. That's their sole purpose. is to operate as a militia.
Exactly.
And I know a lot of people don't like to accept that. They think, well, that's different. How is it fucking different? They're volunteers, and they protect their state.
They come together
when they need it, and when they're not needed, they disband. That sounds exactly like what they're describing in the Constitution.
You forget that the Redcoats can come back anytime now, Pat. All right? Have you not read American history? The Redcoats can come back anytime. Paul Revere, all that kind of, he can come back anytime, so you need to relax.
I get it, but I also understand that there's a cultural component when you guys speak to the radicalization, and that goes back to when I did the show on the black identity extremists that Jamie brought up. I did that show on Lessons from the Screen. You should definitely go check that out. It's part of the Freedom Train Network, shameless plug. You know, we talked about the culture that creates these things. And that culture, the same culture that we talked about, extremism versus terrorism, and how the only difference is an extremist is somebody that's homegrown American. They're still doing terroristic shit. They were just homegrown in America. And instead of saying they became a radicalized terrorist, we say they became an extremist. So, but all of that is built into this idea of the Second Amendment, militia patrols, white nationalism, and protecting the nation. All of those things share a point of origin that nobody wants to go back and actually look at when we start talking about these school shootings and these crazy white boy lone wolves that are acting on behalf of their Anglo-Saxon organizations. I might have just connected dots that didn't need to be connected, but the shit makes sense to me, and I can't see where it shouldn't be connected.
Straight up, crazy-ass white boys. Hey, so, all right.
So stupid.
I just dropped, like, some amazing shit, right? Tooting my own horn and shit, and you follow me up with that, basically just boo-booing in my mouth.
That was like the tip back. Like, I got you. I'm with you. Hell yeah. I'm going to say hell yeah.
Fuck you, yo.
But, and we don't have to spend a lot of time on this because I do got a...
Yeah, we got a lot of time on this. Ask Jamie your question.
To me, just to kind of... My thing is, man, stop being... Think logical. I know logic doesn't exist right now in these last few years. Facts don't matter anymore, but logic and facts still matter. And the fact is, nobody's going to come take your guns. And the fact is, there is a need for guns in our society, but there's a whole lot of common sense in between those two things. So get a weapon. Don't do anything stupid. And stop being fucking idiots out there. Fair enough?
Right. So like I was saying, like, not to spend too much time on this last topic, because I do got a boxing question to ask y'all, because I know y'all a little more on boxing than me. Because, you know, Deontay Wilder just beat the Cuban dude yesterday. But real quick, this Oprah for president thing, like, how crazy do y'all think black
people are? Crazy.
With that?
Crazy.
Like, on a scale of 1 to 10.
Super crazy.
Super crazy.
We're at least a 9.5. At least.
Black people.
But we're in that pocket now, Joe. That's like, I get it. I get why you asked that question, but that's the pocket we're in society. Celebrities, for some reason, we just put them on this. We think of they're on TV every day. They make a lot of money. They can lead a whole nation. No, it's just not
nice.
That easy. Yeah,
she's so nice.
Yeah, Oprah's nice, but what is Oprah's political platform? What does she stand for? What does she do? You can't answer those questions, then she doesn't need to be in your mind about running for a president. You need to know what somebody stands on, facts and things that pertain to what you care about as a voter. Oprah got a book club, fam. That's it.
Oprah.
I love Oprah, but fuck it.
Oprah is the black liberal version of Donald Trump.
I can see that. I mean, let's be honest. Let's call a spade that makes perfect sense.
Like we don't know nothing about her political views outside of the fact that we agree with her more than we agree with Trump.
That's really it for black folk.
We don't know nothing about her finances. Don't nobody really know what's going on with Oprah money. We just know that she's supposed to be a billionaire, same as Donald Trump. She say a whole lot of shit that piss Republicans off, same as Donald Trump say a whole lot of shit that piss Democrats off. Like, the similarity, like, so we just going to move from one extreme to the next. And then, to top it all off, right? We talked about this after Oprah made her speech. Oprah's not even super powerful for black people. Look, let me tell you Oprah, and I'm not saying she's not for black people at all, but let me tell you what Oprah's solution to racism is. All of the old racist white people need to die. After they die, racism will be gone. Oprah said that. Now, let me give you the statistics that strongly disagree with her. After President Obama was elected, they saw the largest surge in white supremacy group membership that they had seen in decades, and most of those people were 25 and under. The stats don't agree with Oprah's view. In the same way we could tear apart Donald Trump for making shit up and pulling shit out of his ass, Oprah is also the same woman who got blasted by white people on her own show for saying that there was more than one way to get into heaven. And she apologized.
But, and we talked about this before, Oprah, she's very, she's middle of the fence. She's not going to go too far left. She walks that fence because she knows who her viewers and supporter are, and it's not predominantly, it's white female viewers that really make Oprah and put her into that stratosphere she is in now. It wasn't necessarily black women viewership or whatever the case may be. So she know who her target audience is. So she has to walk that straight and narrow. She'll give you that little great speech every now and again, but for the most part, Oprah stayed neutral on a lot of different things. So, I mean, she's got a whole TV network, and while the riots were going on, Black Lives Matter were trying to gain traction, I didn't see Oprah have any specials or invite them to the show and try to highlight or explain to other parts of America exactly what was going on. I didn't see that from Oprah. I'm not saying she didn't do stuff behind the scenes. I'm just saying on a national platform that she had, I didn't see that being utilized. So Oprah's very middle of the road, middle of the pack type deal. I just think people get so caught up in celebrity nowadays that that's all it takes to be the leader of the free world of being a celebrity. When it's, we should put a lot more, we got to get that standard back to what it was, right? We lower the standard, you know, every time, oh, we pissed off at this last administration, we're going to lower the standard, we're going to get this, and we're going to up it back up. We got to stop doing that. And I'm not saying Oprah doesn't meet the standard. All I'm saying is there's better people out there that can give us the leadership at, from a national perspective, and that's what we need. Running the TV station is a lot different from running the country.
Oprah has said some of the same shit that got Bill Cosby blasted and gotten off scot-free for it because she's Oprah. She's made pokes and jabs at the poor black people of America the exact same way Bill Cosby did. And again, it's not the shit on Oprah. The only thing I really have against Oprah, and it's I support Oprah in a lot of ways. She has been a positive role model for our young girls for a long period of time. I'm not trying to take nothing away from Oprah. And I'll say the only thing I have against Oprah is that she chose to build a school in South Africa and hasn't built one in Chicago yet. So outside of that, I really don't have no gripes with Oprah. But when you start talking about making Oprah the leader of the nation, when you start, and then you know what comes with that is all these expectations about what she's going to do for black people, which we you'd have thought we'd have learned our lesson with Barack Obama. But, oh, no. Because, you know, like my man said on Professor Carlton's show, on Office Hours, black people got the attention span of a fucking goldfish. We don't remember shit about what happens 2 weeks after it happens. Barack Obama was supposed to come in office and slam through all these initiatives, but motherfuckers don't vote for their senators and their congressmen, so his ass couldn't get shit to happen, and even when he had a supermajority, he didn't push shit. What exactly are we expecting Oprah to accomplish in the fucking White House? That's my question. Why are you excited about an Oprah Winfrey president?
You know why, Pat? Because you get a car, and you get a car, and you get a car. Everybody gets a car.
And even to that fucking point, as amazing as it is to give a motherfucker a car, are you going to help me pay the insurance? You going to help me pay for the gas to put in this motherfucker?
You pay your insurance. And you pay your insurance. And you pay your insurance.
I'm happy you gave me a car, but it's a lot that goes into maintaining a car outside of just, I can't, look, it does me no good to have that motherfucker sitting in the driveway and all that. And I'm still paying my registration fees every year. Now, fuck that. Look, when are we going to, this whole Oprah thing to me is definitely a 9.5 on a Richter scale of crazy, in my opinion. We don't know anything about Oprah outside of her goddamn television show, her goddamn television network, which, as Jamie pointed out, has not been the most pro-black network in the world, and her fucking book club, which has not featured some of the most pro-black and enlightening books out there. So, like, what the fuck are we excited about with Oprah? I get that she's a positive role model for our daughters. I get that, not trying to take nothing away from it. But come on, fam, you gotta do more than be on
Black people gotta stop being politically stupid, and that's what's really happening right now. Black people are being politically stupid, and they're like, black people are acting like they're so Trump tired that they'll just vote for anybody who is not Trump that seems like a good candidate. And black people, stop being politically stupid. Don't vote for Oprah just because she run. Oprah don't know how to run this goddamn country no better than Trump do. some black people. I know y'all ain't gonna listen to us, but we told y'all first right here, stop being stupid.
Hey, I'll tell you again, because Oprah got a fan club that's just as bad as the Beehive. Look, I don't care. Oprah is not whatever y'all think she is. She ain't. She ain't shit, and she ain't the shit. She just a rich black woman. That's it.
Right.
You better get some hate mail, Pat.
I really don't care. 100%. I'm so over this whole idolizing motherfuckers that got money and they on TV. I'm so over, like, that don't make sense. Like, what? Like, that's your role model? And you don't, here's the deal. A lot of these people be like, Oprah's my role model. Oh, yeah, well, what do you know about her business? Well, I know she make money. How does she make money? Like, these are, like, basic questions. How is this your role model and you don't even know how she makes money?
Because she got a lot.
What are you aspiring to? How are you aspiring to be like Oprah and you have no business sense? You have no people skills.
Hey. But Oprah for president. Yay.
That shit is so fucking dumb to me.
Hey, free course for everybody.
Right.
What was your next one, Joe? You said
yeah, real quick wrapping this up. Deontay, I was going through, and I'm doing this since I'm on my break from the fix. So Deontay Wilder is now 40-0 as a boxer, as a professional boxer. 39 knockouts, just defended his title against the Ortiz guy last night. And I'm just like, dude is 40-0. So what does that like? So how are we starting to classify these boxers? Because Floyd is the greatest thing walking, and he 40-0. Deontay Wilder 40-0 as well, but Deontay Wilder ain't as popular as Floyd. So at what point?
Floyd is 50-0.
Yeah.
Floyd is 50-0?
Yeah,
50-0. Okay, my bad. But Deontay Wilder ain't, he's like still in his 20s, and he's 40-0.
32.
Well, shit, I'm just fucking up across the board, ain't I? That's why I asked y'all. But, So he's 32. He's 40-0. Floyd is in his 40s. He's 50-0. Do you all think that when it's all said and done, Wilder will be considered as one of the greatest since he's in the heavyweight division?
No. Hell no. No.
Why not?
I'll let you go ahead, Pat.
If he keep up what he's doing now, if he retire undefeated.
No.
It's gonna take more than that. One of the things people miss is that Floyd Mayweather defeated. And not just, in a lot of cases, not just defeated, he embarrassed and humiliated over 25 world champions. These are not like bar fighters. These are like legitimate superstars in their own right. At the top of their game, he made them look stupid. That's one thing. I'm not taking nothing away from Deontay Wilder. He's knocked out 40 guys, but a lot of those guys have been, and that's not all his fault. The heavyweight division is kind of trash right now. But in addition to that, Deontay Wilder still hasn't unified the heavyweight belt.
And that's what I'm getting to. So the reason I say no, I mean, you can look at his resume. Yes, he's knocked people out. And even if you – let's look at his resume first, right? It's not that impressive when you look at it. Yes, 40-0, a lot of knockouts. That looks great. But who was he knocking out? You can go down, and it partly is because the heavyweight division has declined ever since Klitschko took over for the last 18,000 years. The damn heavyweight division has went under pretty much. But he still has some big names that he's going to have to fight to unify the heavyweight title. Now, when he goes and fights those more talented fighters, then yes, he might start earning, you know, stuff towards his reputation. He might be put in that. But his actual boxing game, he's not a skilled heavyweight fighter at all. He's not skilled.
This Ortiz dude is supposed to be one of the – well, you tell me. That's what I was watching sports, and they're saying this Ortiz dude is supposed to be one of the best that's in the heavyweight class.
I don't think Ortiz is the best. I wouldn't say that. I wasn't that impressed with Ortiz as a boxer. I don't know why people were making so much so much buzz around him as if he was going to be the guy. But if you do look at that fight, he was giving Wilder that work. He really was. No. But again, Wilder, you know, he's going if you keep him in there, if he gets you with one, he does have punching power. But if he gets you with one, you might hit the canvas. So I didn't see Ortiz as somebody that was that prolific. Now, if Wilder goes and fights Anthony Joshua and beats the hell out of him, then we can have this conversation. I can say maybe I was wrong.
Yeah, I'm with Jay on that so far. Like, in Deontay Wilder, the dude has an extraordinary amount of punching power. Definitely not taking nothing away from it, but so far that's all we've seen is punching power. And he's been able to just kind of overwhelm at everybody that he's fought at some point or another. You know, obviously they succumb. And you look at, I don't understand how people are saying Luis Ortiz was that guy. I'm not saying he wasn't a decent talent or anything like that, but I'm saying coming into that fight, he had only fought 28 fights. So, you know, like 28 professional fights, and you could pretty much go ahead and go on record and say the first 20 of those were bums. Not bums. I don't want to say bums because that's very disrespectful. They were not championship caliber fighters. We'll say that. They were journeyman fighters. Guys that you know, everybody goes through. They've been in the sport. They're making their money, but they never going to be household names. But you look at, I think a lot of what we're looking at with Deontay Wilder is that he is knocking people out, and knockouts are exciting. And so now, just by virtue of him fighting somebody, that excitement gets transferred over to his opponent, where people are not only wondering, is this opponent going to be the one to break the streak, but they're also wondering, is this opponent going to be the one that stays up and goes to a fucking decision? You know, is this opponent going to give us, you know, all 12 rounds of a fight? So there's a lot that go. You look at Floyd Mayweather, classic thing. I say this all day, every day. Nobody knew who the fuck Manny Pacquiao was before people started talking about him fighting Floyd Mayweather. Boxing fans knew who he was, but the casual fan had no clue who Manny Pacquiao was before he showed up on Floyd Mayweather's roster. And I say that to make the point, that's what happens when you're at the top of your sport. Everybody that you face becomes a media attention, a media attraction, because the media is interested to see if this is going to be the person that takes you out. Like Jamie said, if he takes on world-class competition and outclasses them, because people forget, Floyd Mayweather was beating people's ass long before people really knew who he was. And I'm not talking about regular fucking everyday guys. He was making legends look stupid in the ring long before people started hating him. Back when he became Money Mayweather, when he was Pretty Boy Floyd, he was making people look legitimately stupid. He embarrassed Arturo Gotti.
Utterly embarrassed.
He did.
I watched. Well, hold on. This is an argument for, and you're talking to a guy who literally loved Floyd. Floyd did have... He did pick a lot of his bigger fights at the tail end of their careers. He did. And that's my biggest knock against Floyd, is he didn't fight a lot of those fighters in their prime. And had he fought a lot of – like, I guarantee you Floyd would not get back in the ring with a damn Canelo right now. I know he won't. He fought Canelo when he was young and stupid, right?
Floyd Mayweather, and I agree with you, he wouldn't get back in the ring, and he fucking shouldn't. Like, Floyd Mayweather is in his 40s.
Shit.
Yeah.
So you look at, like, a lot of the guys that he fought, I do think he picked his opponents. I do agree with that. I do, like, the Oscar De La Hoya fight, I don't think that would have mattered. I'm not a big Oscar De La Hoya fan. I think he'd have beat Oscar at any age.
Oscar was trash to me.
You know, but, like, when I'm really talking about Floyd, I'm looking at the second Luis Castillo fight. I'm looking at the Diego Corrales fight. I'm looking at the Arturo Gatti fight. You know, I'm looking at those fights, and I'm looking at the Jab Judah fight. You know, I'm looking at those fights, and I'm like, he really did his thing. With fights like a Shane Mosley, he could have fought him earlier. He could have, but I believe Shane Mosley is just a older than Floyd, period. And I think Shane Mosley still had a lot in the tank. I believe he got Miguel Cotto at a good time. I think Miguel Cotto, he wasn't in his prime per se, and that's because Miguel hasn't been the same since Margarito and plastered his fucking face. There's nothing Floyd could do about that. But I do agree with you. There are some guys on his record that I feel like he waited, but I don't think that takes away from his legacy, because I still think he would have beat those guys. It just wouldn't have been as convincing.
And to kind of mirror this back to Deontay Wilder, I think comparing him to Floyd, I think we make a mistake about that because of just the record. Floyd was something we probably won't see for a while just by his – I mean, just his – he was a technically sound boxer from A to Z. You're not going to see anybody who could counterpunch, move, shift, roll his – you're just not going to see – like, that was just like art to watch him box. Yeah. So don't just think, hey, because he's 40 and old, he's just this great. Because I can tell you right now, if it's him and Joshua fight, I'm taking Joshua hands down. I like how Joshua moves for a big man. If Wilder had to go against a Klitschko, hell no. I mean, so to me, I think a lot of people just get caught up in 40 and 0, and not actually kind of looking at the way this dude fights. It's only a matter of time until he runs across a heavyweight that can actually box and is just as powerful, and then he's going to be in trouble.
You're right about that. Styles make fights, and that's where we get into like a Ricky Hatton. People like to forget that when he came to fight Floyd Mayweather, he was undefeated. Ricky Hatton is a club fighter. He is not a world championship class fighter. He's not. He's gotten lucky against some people, and not even a lot of those people. He has gotten lucky 2 or 3 times against world championship caliber fight, but Ricky Hatton is not a world caliber fighter. So records really don't mean much. Styles do make fights. And I do think a lot of people that aren't as familiar with boxing don't understand Floyd Mayweather. The only thing Floyd Mayweather was missing, and he dropped it at the end of his career, because if you watch his earlier fights, he had it. He didn't have that killer instinct. He didn't have that aggression to go in and just finish a motherfucker off.
He was a prize fighter. He knew he needed to score off points and this, that, and the other. But one last point, and I'll leave it alone. Because the heavyweight division has just been so awful for so long, now that we see somebody there, I think a lot of this and I'm not shitting on Wilder. I think he's a good fighter. He's exciting to watch. But I think a lot of it is just people are excited that the heavyweight division is making a little bit of noise now versus the featherweight divisions and whatnot. So a lot of this is just exciting because people want to see the heavyweight division come back. But don't get caught up in the hype. But he's really not. I mean, comparing him to other heavyweights, hell no. Lennox would have destroyed him. Tyson would have broke his whole clavicle. I don't even know what that is exactly, but he would have broke it. Man, and again, I'm not shitting on the kid, but technically he's not his fighting style is nothing impressive whatsoever.
It's sloppy as hell. I mean, you know, that's what I'm not a boxing motherfucker, but his style is like real open and sloppy, and it ain't real technically sound. See that.
That's because he hasn't had to be technically sound to do what he's done, because there ain't no real competition there. I mean, your fights are what make you technically sound. You start to shorten your punches and tighten them up when people start punching you in the face inside of your punches. You start to bring that arm over and hold it up to correct after you got punched in the eye a couple times. Like, I understand the component of training, but there is a lot to be said to fighting world-caliber talent that's going to make you tighten your shit up so that you don't get abused. And he hasn't had to deal with that, but to another point, the heavyweight division has never really been the division of skill in boxing. The lighter weights, in my opinion, welterweight and middleweight have always been where the majority of the skill is in boxing. Heavyweight guys, it's just fun to look at because they big as shit, Never mind the fact that most of them can't go past fucking 8 rounds without looking like they about to fall over and have an asthma attack. But, you know, it is what it is in that. But I agree with Jamie. The division's whack. He's sloppy. He's a good fighter. I wouldn't want to get in the ring with him. I'm definitely not saying I stand toe-to-toe with him. Well, I would, but it wouldn't be fair. I'd kick him in the nuts.
Hey, hey.
I wouldn't volunteer for it, though.
I ain't shooting nobody that. I ain't fighting nobody that big. I'm either shooting or picking up something and taking out your kneecaps. Damn,
no,
he's
like,
too big.
You know, like, if I see him in the streets or something, I mean, he want to go, you know, if I can't get away, he going to catch this nut shot.
Hey,
but
I'm not fighting fair. That's all I'm saying.
I'm not impressed with his boxing. I'm not.
Hey, man, it's all good. But and good discussion today on all these topics, I think. You know, we
thank
gave
you,
our
teacher.
Opinions. Hey, man, you know, sometimes you got to make sure everybody is being acknowledged for their contributions in this classroom, okay? And if you want to make it to the next grade, then listen to what I'm saying, okay?
I got you.
But, man, you know, nah, it's good discussions and things. And black folk, at the end of the day, black folk, we got to do better. That's what all this comes down to. We got to do better. But I'm Joseph Ward. He's Patrick Irvin. It's Jay Azonic. Together, we the Freedom Train Podcast Series, and we do our best to make sense of what's going on around us. And, you know, we like to talk about it and talk about it the way we talk about it. If you don't like the way we talk about it, hell, I don't know what to tell you. But that's just how we get down, man. So we enjoy what we're doing, and we appreciate everybody who's been supporting the Freedom Train Network, especially all of our new shows, each and every one of you who are out there following us each and every week, downloading our shows. We appreciate you. We appreciate you spreading the messages around because we see the network is growing, and we appreciate the love that y'all are showing us. So until next time, two fingers in the air, split them like a player. Peace out, and it really goes down.